You take your Bibles tonight and turn to Galatians, the 6th chapter. Go to 2 Corinthians and hang a right. Galatians chapter 6. And tonight's study is called Burdens Are Lifted. Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 2 through 5. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. Lord, I just ask you again tonight to take this word and bring it to life in our hearts and in our lives, Father, in our church, in our community. Lord, help us to listen to you. Help us to hear your Spirit speak even tonight. Father, I pray that you will speak. It will be what you need us to hear, and that, Lord, you will bring it to life. And I know you can do that by your Holy Spirit, and I ask you to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. I think a lot of times we go through struggles in our lives, and we say we have burdens that we're carrying, and it seems like sometimes we just don't know how we're going to make it and how we're going to keep going on and all those kinds of things. And what happens is we start looking at the things around us rather than the one who made everything around us. And I think sometimes we've got to refocus and we've got to reset, you know. Sometimes you just got to power down and then power back up. You know, you got to reset your computer. You got to do whatever it takes to get back to where you need to be. To be centered on Christ, that's the main thing. And so we're going to take a look at that tonight. And beginning in verse 2, some burdens can be shared. Look at what it says. It says, carry each other's burdens. Carry each other's burdens. You see, the body of Christ and its parts do not function without each other. I mean, when you stop and think about it, the body of Christ needs all the body. Because the body of Christ is not handicapped. It's not hurting. It doesn't have parts that are broken and dead. It's the body of Christ. But every part of the body of Christ needs to be working, doing their part, functioning. Because when we do that, we help each other. We can lift each other up. We can walk alongside each other and encourage each other. We are interwoven by the will and by the way of Christ. In other words, with Him as the head, as Scripture tells us that we ought to have Him as our head, with Him as the head, we are to do the bidding of what the head says. It's just like our bodies. First thing that we do is we send signals to the rest part of our body, whether they're conscious signals or they're unconscious ones that are taken care of somewhere down in the midst of your brain and you don't even have to think about it. I mean, what if you had to think every time you needed to breathe? Oh, yeah, I need to breathe. Okay. Oh, yeah, I need to breathe. Oh, yeah, I need to breathe. It would be terrible. It would just, I mean, that's all you would think about all day long is that you need to breathe. Oh, no, it's not, because then I need to be telling my heart to beat. Wait, beat the heart. Wait, I got to breathe. Beat the heart. And we would just be totally out of sync, and we could be, I mean, that's all you would do all your life is continually tell your heart to beat and tell your lungs to fill up with air. But God made us in a different way where we don't have to do that. But what we do think about, what the things in our consciousness are things that God wants us to look at through the eyes of Christ and see the needs that are there. We are interwoven by the will and the way of Christ. The Greek term is bastazo, which means to pick up, support something that is burdensome. In other words, we are to look around, and if there's someone that's hurting, if there's someone that needs help, if there's someone that's struggling, if there's someone that needs you to walk alongside of them for a while, that's what we ought to be conscious about. It's just like when we have an issue with our own with our own body. We give it attention and say, you know, I need to get this fixed, or I need this to work right, or whatever else. And we do whatever we need to do to try to get it to work. In the same way, we've got to be conscious, spiritually conscious, to the people around us, to the body of Christ. And if there is a need, we need to help carry those needs along the way. We need to help them out. We need to offer, to do whatever needs to be done. The second part of that verse says, in this way, you will what? Fulfill the law of Christ. It doesn't say we'll fulfill the law of Christ by keeping all the commandments. It doesn't say that we will fulfill the law of Christ by going to church. It doesn't say we'll fulfill the law of Christ by giving an offering. Although we're supposed to do those things, that's not how we fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is to offer yourself to carry others' burdens, to make the body of Christ work as it should. Now, when the body of Christ is not working as it should, then who suffers? Christ does. That's why we need to fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is a new way of thinking. It's not our way, it's His way. Those who live by the law, like the Pharisees, felt justified by it, the law, although they were still sinners. They thought that if they did enough of the law and they met all the things that they were supposed to do, then they were going to be okay. But Jesus is the one who continually showed His disciples that the Pharisees were falling way short of what He wanted. The law of Christ sets us free to live a new life where the laws of God are a pleasure and not a burden. Think about it. There was a young man who grew up around the Pharisees. He grew up in all this law-giving, law-taking stuff. And he became so, basically, I hate to even use the word, but he became so mean that he was looking at all the Christians and wanting them to die. But he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And many years later in his life, he was writing this very letter to the church at Galatia, the churches in Galatia, and saying, listen, fulfilling all the laws, doing all the things that you think are important, really don't matter if you don't know the one who gave the law. The law of Christ sets us free to live a new life where the laws of God are a pleasure, not a burden. I love that. Because we don't do what God has told us to do because we have to. We do what God has said because we want to. That makes a whole lot of difference. I mean, I know when I was growing up, there were some things I had to do, and I didn't really like it. I had to go chop cotton. I had to go move irrigation pipes. I had to plow a field. I had to, stack hay bales. I had to do, those are things I had to do. And I didn't get up each morning going like, wow, I can't wait to get out there and do those things. As a young boy, it wasn't on the top of my priority list. And yet, the fact is that we've got to have this desire in our hearts to work for Christ rather than for ourselves, to work for His good, not for our good. We've got to see things from His perspective and not our own. And once we do, then we begin to see the things of God taking place, as He said they would. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 41 says, you have heard that it is said, eye for eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn them the other cheek. And if anyone wants you to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Now, it's interesting that these three things that Jesus mentioned to His disciples and to those all of those that were listening on the side of that mountain that day, they all understood what this was talking about. It was talking about people who said, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. You ask me to do something or you take something away from me, I deserve to take something away from you. And the last part where it says forces you to go 1 mile, the law with the Roman soldiers was if they were carrying their pack and it was heavy for them, they could force you to carry it 1 mile. And Jesus would say, well, just carry it to them. I mean, how do you win over people? You win over people by doing more than they expect you to do. You win over people by showing them what the love of Christ is all about. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Some burdens can be shared. Secondly, some burdens are sobering. Look at verses 3 in the first part of verse 4. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own action. In other words, we are to be wise. Many can deceive themselves. And folks, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people who go to church and they do all kinds of things and they think, oh man, I'm a real good Christian. And you've heard me say this before, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. It just doesn't work that way. Many people deceive themselves. James chapter 1, James is the one who would always speak the truth straight up and didn't hold any punches. In verses 22 through 26, he says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at their face in the mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Wow. Be wise. See things like God sees them. We've got to be people who see things like God sees them. And the only way we can do that is look at things through His eyes, through His spiritual eyes. We've also got to be active. The Christian life calls us into action. There is no such thing as a retired Christian. God didn't call you into retirement. God called you into service. There's no place for complacent Christians. That should be an oxymoron if you're a complacent Christian, by the way. It doesn't make sense. You can't be both. In fact, the scripture here says to test yourself. How do you do that? How do you test yourself? How do you look at yourself and say, am I doing what I need to do, and am I doing it for the right reasons? Look at it again. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Look at what 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Isn't that interesting? Because I think there's a lot of people who need to take the test. I think there's a lot of people who think that they're Christians, that think that they're doing the right thing, think that they're walking the walk. But when push comes to shove, it's them that's in control and not the Lord. I remember one time as a young man, I was talking to someone about giving their life to Christ and what that meant. And this one person made the statement, well, if I get saved, if I give my heart to Jesus, He'll wash away all of my sin, my past and my future sin. And I said, yes. What the scripture says. Well, that means that when I get saved, then I can sin all I want to and it won't matter? And I said, no, that's not what it means. You can sin as much as you want. But when you become a Christian, you won't want to do those things because Jesus becomes your Lord. The Lordship of Christ means He's in control now. He's the one calling the shots. He's the one directing our paths. He is the one showing which way we ought to be going. He's Lord. Lord means He's in charge and we're not. Oh. He said, well, That makes sense. You know, the fact is that many people know Jesus, head knowledge, as Savior, but they've never given Him their life, so He's not Lord. He can't be your Savior and not be your Lord. It's got to be together. Some burdens are steadying. Let me explain what that means. That means sometimes God allows us to go through burdens in our lives so that it reminds us who's in control. See, if we had everything we ever wanted and everything we needed, then we wouldn't need Him, right? I remember Paul even calling out to the Lord and saying, "Can you please remove this thorn from my flesh? But even if you don't, I'll serve you." Whatever it is. You see, when we experience victory, the term pride here is actually the word kochima, which means to give glory where it's due. It's not saying we ought to be prideful in ourselves. It says then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. How do you do that? You take pride in the fact of what God has done in you, and you give the glory to God. We don't deserve any glory. We know that in and of our own selves, we cannot glory. The only glory belongs to Christ. And so when we experience victories in our life, the first thing we ought to do is to give Him glory. To bring glory to ourselves is nothing worse than to say, look at Jesus in His face and say, "Thank you for bringing me through this, but I'm going to tell everybody else it was me." We know that of our own selves we cannot glory. The only glory belongs to Him. And when we go through burdens and struggles and trials, and we all do, there's no doubt about it. You're either going into one, you're in one, or you're just coming out of one, getting ready to go into another one. I mean, that's the way life is. We are strengthened to carry our load. You know, if you do something over and over and over again, you start to realize what it takes to get through it. And you get stronger. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time. It's painful, but afterwards brings forth a harvest of righteousness for those who've been trained by it." I remember when I was in the eighth grade, my track coach asked me to start running in the 440. And that's back when we called it the 440 instead of the 400 meters. And I didn't really like running that much. I liked high jumping. I liked throwing the shot put. I liked doing all those other things. But running wasn't really something I wanted to do because it takes a lot of training and it takes a lot of, you know, conditioning and all that kind of stuff. And I had all the conditioning in football I wanted. I just in basketball, and I just kind of wanted a season of my life to not be so stressful. But he says, "I've got to have another person on our 400 meter team, relay team, and I really need somebody. So I need you to start training for that." And I tell you what, I decided I would do it. He kind of held some stuff over my head. You know, if you want to play football next year and be starting, you know, you probably need to be running the track. And so anyway, I began training, and the training was hard because 400 meters is, or 440 yards, which we were doing, it's the hardest race because you can't run it as a full sprint, because if you do, you'll die before you get to the end. And you've got to be in good shape. And man, I hated all the repetitions of running that. We'd run it and we'd run it and we'd run it, and we, you know, and finally you just finally go, "I can't go another one." He goes, "One more." And we had to run one more. But what would happen is, as you know, when you do something long enough, it starts to strengthen you, and you're able to breathe even easier, and you're able to start relaxing your body as you run, which is a key in running fast. I never really understood that, But those that run the fastest are the ones that you, when you look at their faces, they're not squinting and running like this. They're relaxed and they're running. And they're allowing the muscles that need to do what they need to do them. And so it's really amazing. And I started learning that. And by the end of the track season, I was running a really good 440 and helped our team. But, you know, I think a lot of times it's the same for us in our Christian walk, because we think, man, this is so hard. I don't have time to sit down and read God's Word every day. I don't have time to study God's Word. I don't have time to memorize God's Word. And I've come to find out, you have the time that you want to spend on something else. Because you'll sit down and watch a TV series, and you'll, you know, what do they call it when you binge watch, you know, whole TV shows? And people will do that. And I'm not sure what kind of building up that does for anyone. But the fact is, you have time for what you really want to do. It's just, what do you want to do? Paul's saying, I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve the Lord with my whole heart. I want to follow Him no matter what. So we are strengthened in our discipline of following Him to carry our load. In other words, that word that we saw a while ago is now taken and expanded and say bastafel, which means empowered to carry or to support. In other words, those burdens that used to be burdensome, now they're easily carried. Why? Because He has now strengthened us by His Word and by His Spirit to carry those things that seemed to used to be horribly hard are now very easy. Why is that important? Because they become easy, now I'm able to do even more than what I could do before. It's a supernatural strength that comes from another source. It's Him. It's not us. I think many times, and the reason I wanted to go through this passage tonight, I think many times we allow the weight of this world to drag us down, to get us discouraged, to want to give up, to throw in the towel, say nobody cares about me, nobody saw when I did this anyway, and nobody ever told me thank you, and I don't even know if anybody cares. And we can get in our pity party state of living. And what good does that do for the cause of Christ? Nothing. Paul is trying to encourage these folks as well as us today. Isn't that interesting? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, Paul wrote this to a church, a group of churches. But he could have been writing it to us right now. That's what God's Word does. He wants us to, even though we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for He's with us. His rod and His staff will comfort us. He's there to help us carry the load. We don't have to do it on our own. Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You again that no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, we've got You. And that beats everything. Lord, we have all of our strength, all of our hope, all of our life coming from You. And with that, nothing could go wrong. Because You're going to be with us. You're going to walk alongside of us. You're going to carry us when You need to carry us. You're going to help us face things when we need to face things. But Lord, help us to keep our eyes on You. Not to be distracted, not to be focused on other things, but focused on You and what You've called us to do. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.